Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is your fill-in substitute teacher host, Dave Atwell, starting things off for Dr. John. Hopefully, he'll be joining us later on. And as predicted, as I went to go outside to light up my cigar and start the show up, it started raining. So I am migrating towards the front. So as I shuffle my operation in the other direction, that be fetching my beer off the deck rails back here in the backyard and move it towards the front porch where I can stay dry, I'm going to go around the table and start introducing our panel. So, first thing off, asshole deep in snow in Arkansas right now. Granny Hulkster, how you doing this evening?
Well, I'm good. I don't have no snow yet. But, I mean, as I was sharing with you before the show, it was 10 years ago yesterday where we had what they called the 4/12 snowstorm. And what I mean by that is it snowed 28-plus inches in less than 6 hours.
That's crazy.
Yes, it was Velvet very here. Crazy. Hey, Velvet. It was very crazy, yeah. So.
Hello, hello.
No snow
hey,
yet,
evening,
just,
Velvet.
You know, freezing precipitation off and on for the last couple of days, so I don't know what's going to happen, but I am here.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard this evening. So, we're going to move on to our next, and when we talk about snow, this young man probably has more expertise in the field than the rest of us do at this moment. Tim, how deep in snow are you this evening, brother?
Well, it's coming down, and I think we're supposed to get up to about 4 inches, and it'll be snowing to clear up until 7 a.m. Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
This is Tim, first-time caller, long-time listener. Just kidding. It was pretty cold here. It finally warmed up, and I'm actually talking about the indoor temperature because we're one of the lucky ones where the heat went out thanks to our propane thawing dry. That was about a week ago, and then, of course, the pipes froze, and then I got that thawed, and then a pipe burst. So we've had all kinds of fun here.
All righty, then.
The great Indianapolis area. So other than that, I'm doing good. Looking forward to a great show.
Outstanding. Well, outstanding that we've got you here, not outstanding that you've got busted pipes, because frozen pipes and busted pipes are two totally different nightmares, and that is no fun at all. No fun at all.
It looked like a kid's sprinkler fest down in our, I'll call it basement, but it's a low-grade basement. They did no damage. Our basement's more like a cellar, so all good, but it certainly was a surprise that I saw.
I remember when we we lived on base and had a freeze, and I remember the Sergeant Major. I think Sergeant Major was a gunny back then, and he went to, you know, get up and do the three S's in the morning, and the pipes were frozen. So here I was, you know, like 10, 11 years old. He had me under the sink holding my mom's hair dryer to the pipes trying to get these things sawed out. And I mean, he was cussing a blue streak. I was scared, you know, because the old man was laying it out. But yeah, frozen pipes suck. They are awful. So,
oh yeah.
Speaking of frozen pipes, the expert on frozen pipes didn't. My brother across town, Todd, how is me tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Going to remind people about microphone discipline. If you've got your TV on and you're not talking, let's go ahead and mute the mic. Other than that, happy Wednesday. Hope everyone's well.
Yeah, outstanding. Everything's good. Are you getting rain on your end? The rain picked up over here on mine. So
yeah, there's a little bit here. It was wet, and yeah, it just hasn't dried out. The wife put some divots in there at the foot of the driveway where she missed it, and I don't know. It's they're long and deep enough. I'm thinking about just going ahead and getting them stocked. set up my own fishing hole, that kind of thing going on. But, you know, all things considered, I'm feeling good. I mean, my health apparently is better than Tim's, expecting 4 inches and bursting his pipe. That's, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah, most definitely. That's okay. So last but not least, down near Charleston, South Carolina, the Amazing Velvet. How are you tonight this evening, brother?
Not bad. At least it's not minus 15 here.
Got a heads up on the competition.
Well, it's going to be minus 15 in Minnesota in the next 2 days.
Good
grief.
So be lucky you don't live there.
Well, of course.
Well, I'm in the low 20s right now, Velvet, but it's supposed to get colder towards the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, it's just soggy. It's just soggy here, like everybody else.
Yeah. Problem is, we have here is that everything is swamped out. I actually know a lady who 25 acres of land last year, had it cleared out, had it perked, had 600 foot of plumbing put in so she could be that far away from the main road, and had a double wide purchase and was going to have it craned onto the foundation and the whole nine yards and live out her life happily ever after. Well, she's gotten everything done, and right up to the day where they're supposed to deliver the house, they can't get on her property because it's so soft. So now, she's in between, the house that she was in versus the house she's supposed to be going to, and it's just caused all kinds of garbage for her. And if you look at the weather here, Eastern North Carolina, it's got nothing but rain for the next 7 days at least. And I can only imagine, how bad it's going to be. I'm to the point where I'm actually throwing some older OSB down in the backyard just so we can walk to let the dogs out. And because Lord knows my fat ass sinks in the mud as soon as I go out there and stand in it. But it's something to behold, and it's the darndest thing to think about it is just 2 years ago, we had one of the driest years in a long time. We had absolutely no rain in 2019, and it seemed like 2020 and cranking into 21, it's all we're doing is just rain, rain, rain. So, yeah, we shall see. And, hopefully we won't float away, but we'll probably sink up to our ass before we get the float down. Tonight, we have no guests and we have no topic, so we're going to go ahead and go open mic night. So,
does
anybody out there have something hot that they want to start off with, or would they prefer me just to lead off with something?
I wanted to start off with a poll if I could.
Please do. Go ahead.
I wanted to poll some of the, all of you guys. So all of the participants here of the podcast, whatever. But something that was, I was thinking about and I'm definitely guilty of, and I'm just a little curious if any of you are the same way. Is anyone out there listening or talking guilty of hiding food items so that nobody else in the family will get to it?
Most
I'm
certainly.
Definitely guilty.
Most certainly.
So I don't feel like that.
No. Tim, I can tell you a story real quick. When my son was about two, right about in that stage when they can start talking, but it's kind of broken what they're saying and you don't quite understand what they're getting at, he kept telling my wife, "Peanut, peanut." And he kept walking to my dresser, pointing to the dresser drawer, going, "Peanut, peanut." And my wife says, "Baby, there's no peanuts in there." So, I mean, he kept carrying on, right? Well, then finally she got bent out of shape, opened up the drawer and says, "Damn it, I'm going to show you there's no peanuts in here." She opened the drawer up and there's like this great big half-gallon can of Planters roasted peanuts in there. So when I come home, she's like, "What were you doing with a whole can of peanuts in your drawer?" I said, "It's the only damn way I'm going to get any of them." And I turned around, exactly. I looked at him. I said, "What'd you do? You rat me out?" And of course, he didn't know what I was talking about. But I was like, "Damn, I got to hide it from him now." Hell, I thought he was my silent partner in this thing, you know. But yeah,
and the worst
the
worst time is during summer when everybody's home, and I'm still going to work. So I go to the store and I buy a bag of pretzels, put them in the pantry, and I come home and the damn bag is gone in like a day. I'm like, come on. So how could you blame me for wanting to hide them? You know, I want them to last for a bit. But, you know, I've been busted too, and I get yelled at. Now, why do you have to hide things? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I want to eat what I buy.
Well, that,
well
if you're
Tim,
like
you
me.
Could tell them if they want pretzels so bad they could buy their own.
Yeah, except I don't
buy your own.
If they want to eat it, that's fine. But you got to tell somebody that you ate it. You know,
right.
So that way they can be replaced.
You know,
a lot of times I think it's...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got it.
I was just going to say, if my young ones had money to actually go out and buy their own groceries, that'd be great. But if they're working, there's some kind of a child labor law that's being broken because they're only 11. So... That's what I've got to deal with. And Pop, too. Pop in this house goes like it's going out of style.
Oh, yeah.
That's so different from the rest of the country. People forget that it's Pop up north. Just saying.
You got the different names for soda pop. Pop.
Thanks, Pop.
Soda.
Thanks, Pop.
Yeah. You know, I had actually talked at one time about creating a like gun safe that's refrigerated.
Yeah.
So you
well,
can like
cool.
stash ice cream sandwiches in it and that kind of stuff and nobody could get to them. Cause you know, I mean, you got to think about it. You know, if it's sometimes an ice cream sandwich is as important as a damn gun is in your house. So, I mean, why not protect them
right.
the same way?
That's yeah. right.
So
that's right.
But I agree. If you're going to eat it, though, I have no problem with you eating it. You just got to let a brother know, so that way I can pick more up. Now, if I come home.
Correct.
And everybody's looking around, got that look on their face going, oh, man, I was the last one to eat them Cool Ranch Doritos. Here comes the old man. He going to be pissed. Well, then, yeah. But it had just. And there's no excuse for it these days. There's too many texting, voicemails, smoke signals, you know, signal flares that you can put up to let somebody know. You know what I mean? But don't let me come home and see you ate all my damn Doritos, please.
That's right. No. That's right. I agree.
But no, I'm
Go ahead.
No, I'm totally with Tim. I went through that whole phase. Now, granted, I don't have to do it now because it's just me and my wife and my son, and I just know on the front side that Rob eats everything in sight, so I have to keep that kind of in play. But, yeah, when you have that younger age, I know when mine were growing up, I was like, jumping, Jesus, will you guys please just run the play with me? Just let me
right.
And the best is I can fix dinner and everyone will eat just fine. My daughter, she's going to be taller than me. She's in the 99th percentile for her age. And I swear when she
wow.
gets, and she's skin and bones too. She's skinny and tall, you know, and she'll get done eating dinner. And the first thing she does goes over to the pantry to see what else she can eat. And I look at her and I'm like, Rachel, what are you doing? You just ate. I don't know, looking for something.
Metabolism's fast, that's why.
Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah.
Mine was that same way. I was the same way. I was in high school. I was 4'9" and probably 100 pounds soaking wet.
Right. That's the way I was.
So I can tell you right now what's in my stuff. I think a half a bag of chips Oreo cookies almost gone. My daughter got the Lady Gaga Oreo cookies too. They haven't been opened yet. If whoever opens them is gonna die. I got ice cream cones, frozen ice cream cones, and ice cream sandwiches, bagel bites, and frozen waffles, and Pop Tarts. So
Pop Tarts.
This stuff is there. But yeah, we have a running list on our kitchen table. If something disappears, you write it on there if you want it again, or you write what's missing or what you want. That's what we've been doing. There's a running list. Here, write it on there. We'll get it when we go the next time we go to the store, whenever that may be. It may be 3-4 days from now, but write it on there.
The problem with that idea in my house is ghosts can't write things down on lists. And apparently it's just ghosts that eat all the food. Because when you ask
just eating
it,
all your food, right.
I didn't do it. Nobody ever did it. So apparently we just have ghosts around through the house.
It was that damn Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, Bigfoot did it.
Yeah.
It's all Bigfoot's fault.
That's right. It's irritating. And, you know, it's funny, when my son got old enough, you know, where he liked to enjoy a beer with his old man and all that, I actually had the damn talk with him where I said, let me go ahead and explain something to you right now. I know you've been eating the last slice your entire life, and that's fine. That's the risk you take as a parent. I says, but I tell you what I will not stand for is you drinking the last beer. I said, if there's one beer in that damn fridge, it's mine. Not now, but forever.
I never had that problem because nobody drank my beer because nobody liked beer. So
yeah,
I drink them all anyway.
That is a great strategy, is you pick the stuff that only you like, or you acquire a taste for something that only you like. That is actually a great strategy.
Well, my wife doesn't like any alcohol, so that's a good thing.
That was something else I was going to ask you, Tim. Do you ever find yourself in the grocery store finding something going, you know what? This has got to be the nastiest tasting potato chip on the planet. There is no way in hell anybody else is going to eat these but me. And you buy them?
Yep.
I don't know. Do you guys have Snyder's pretzels up your way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Snyder's pretzels makes these honey onion, what was it, honey mustard and onion?
Onion, yeah. Bites.
And it's one of those items you got to drink beer with while you're eating because it actually makes them palatable. But I bought those things because everybody in the house hates them, right? So I guess Rob was about, you know, 5-6 years old, and I come home one evening. And, like, there's these yellow streaks all over the place. And I'm like, what the heck is all this? He comes up to me and has about the bag, not the damn, you know, dust in it, and goes, hey, these pretzels you got, Dad? I like them. They're pretty good. I was like, God, Jesus Christ.
That's what you get.
I mean, I come close to emailing Snyder's Pretzels and going, hey, can you guys develop a vomit-flavored pretzel that I can maybe get? Or maybe like a poo-flavored?
Oh, no. I got you beat. You think that's funny? When my sons were still in college, they had come home and about to go back, I think, for their junior year. So we went to Myrtle Beach. And we went to the water park, and on the way home, my daughter had the bright idea to buy the Bean Boozle game, where, you know, it's got different tasting jelly beans in it. Have you ever played that game? Anybody?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is what I'm going to tell you. It's called Bean Boozled. Okay? It comes in sections, and you have four players. Everybody gets the same colored jelly bean, but all of them ain't going to taste the same. It could be two, it could be three, it could be one. Here are the different flavors. dog food, skunk, vomit.
Oh my!
Rotten eggs.
Yeah, I think one of two, isn't it?
All
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, all kind of different things, right? So everybody's in the car. We're in the car, okay? And we're all getting this. I'm driving. They're riding. We're all laughing. We got tears coming out of our eyes. Okay, let's eat it. We eat it. Almost wrecked twice because I got the skunk. Oh no! I got the dirty sock one that I almost threw up at the gas station. Oh my God! The funny thing was, like, you ever seen anybody like you know how you do people do the when you run around the car and get back in?
Chinese fire drill.
It looked like that's what we were doing when we got to the gas station. Everybody's spitting. This, I literally almost threw up at the gas station. Between the laughter and the gagging, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. People pumping their gas, looking at us, the four of us, and I'm like just bent over, going. So
I wonder how we go about making dirty sock flavor.
Oh my. Oh, I don't know, but no, I'm gonna tell you something. It is so that if you've never played it, you gotta get it. First of all, it can also be a pretty good drinking game too, if you want to do it. Just saying. But oh my gosh, no, that was awful. That was the worst. It was funny, mind you, but when you're laughing and you're gagging at the same time because you got skunk. Or dog food or whatever, and you just can't speak.
Yeah, that's
because everybody's
baby shower.
Oh Lord!
Yeah, you know how nowadays baby showers, guys have to go to them now. Thanks, to everybody gendering veteran. Well, they had all of us guys sit down and. They gave us baby foods, and we had to write down what we thought the baby food was, right? First off, on record and say, after doing that event, I will never blame another baby for throwing up baby food because that's some nasty taste and stuff. But what made it so funny is that one of them was a ham, like creamed ham or something like that, and the guys wrote down potted meat. potted meat.
I'm going to be nice.
I got a good one for you guys. You were talking about baby showers.
Yeah.
I've been to baby showers before where they took different kinds of chocolate candy bars and they kind of melted it and put it inside of a diaper. And you had to guess which candy bar it was, like whether it was Snickers or Hershey's almonds or Mounds or Almond Joy.
Nope. Nope. That's pretty bad. But thank you for that idea.
That's a fun game. I mean, but.
Who else happened to think of the scene from Caddyshack where he's cleaning out the pool?
Yeah. Here, it's just the candy bar in there.
Yeah.
What was so funny is when they started playing the damn Jaws music, when that thing was floating around and they started playing that day. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That whole movie
was Velvet, when you were talking about at the gas station, spitting and sputtering
caught. Oh, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that movie Vacation where they got Edna and they stopped to eat the sandwiches in the park. And the dog peed all over the sandwiches.
Yep.
Yeah, they're like, God, the dog peed all over the sandwiches.
That's funny.
Now, Todd, knowing you being in the Marine Corps and you being all over while you were doing your service time, I imagine you probably came on some pretty nifty stuff, because I don't know, did they allow you guys to have chow in the barracks back in the day? Because I know my dad, when, you know, he was running ship, alcohol and chow, it had a certain place and it had a certain time and it had a certain way, and if it wasn't met, it went in the dumpster. But yeah, so being in the Corps, when it comes down to the chow scene, what were you up against?
Okay, some street food was better than others. Some bar food was better than others. I think in the Philippines, one of the more unique things would be balut.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that would
explain.
Be the... That would be working on it. That would be traditionally, it was duckling rice chicken, but it's a partially developed duckling that's fermented in its egg. And it's often eaten for virility and such, that kind of thing. And it's a unique taste. Unique texture. There's crunch from the bones that are partially developed and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty. It's pretty.
Oh my.
It's pretty different. One of the Korean street foods is. See if I remember the silkworm larva.
Oh,
would have been roasted. There's that stuff. But you know, I remember as a kid, and look, I could be wrong about this part, but I swear to God, Pier 1 had unique imports food stuff at one time, too. I'm digging back to like 1970 for this one. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Preferred not to do it towards the phone and have a really pixeled screen. Just saying.
We might get the digital coronavirus.
Hey, I think you got somebody waiting to come in, I think. Please go look.
Okay. Let's see. Chocolate covered eggs and roasted grasshoppers.
No. Anything bug related you can keep. I know they say it's high protein, but
actually a little more mainstream anymore today is some of the more gimmick things like the scorpion lollipops.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those in the candy store all the time.
So, I mean,
no, I didn't think
that, kind of thing, but that was probably some of the more unique food type stuff. But I've had a lot worse food in regular places. I mean, I'll tell you right now, some of those early MREs. And some of the early field kitchen food, your dad will tell you about the sea rats. Some of that stuff left something to be desired. But, you know, some of it, I'll tell you right now, you can talk smack, but when you're that darn hungry, you're glad to have it. I'm just saying, you're really happy to have it.
Well. Oh, Lord, Chaz is here. There goes the neighborhood.
What is going on? Holy smokes, a voice from the past. What is going on, James?
Well, greetings from the refrigerator, otherwise known as Chicago.
Hello, Chaz.
What is going on, brother Chaz?
Are you celebrating your Super Bowl win? I heard they got 4 mail-in touchdowns on Monday, so the Chiefs are the champions.
Yeah, I've been seeing that all over Facebook, you know, today, Chaz. I'm not a – Granny is not a sore loser. I mean,
no.
And I'm proud of my Chiefs. You know, they made it to the Super Bowl back-to-back. We're just going to come back stronger than ever, and we're going to have a great season. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, prayers for Patrick. He had his surgery today on his toe. So I hope he's recovering nicely. And, you know, I mean, we had a lot of things against us, guys. I mean, you know, we had 3 offensive line guys that were out on injury. And
no
I'm sure
excuses.
The situation
NFL player.
With I'm sure the situation with Andy Reid's son played a huge factor, you know, in Andy Reid's decisions, you know, but some of the calls were questionable, you know, and I read something today that I wasn't too happy with, but you know, the female official that they had, I read where she was a big Tom Brady fan and that she named her son after, I guess she named her son Brady after his last name. And that the two flags that she threw shouldn't have been called. They were a couple of those questionable calls. But I'm not complaining, and I'm not a sore loser. I'm just saying, you know, there was just a lot of things that, you know, weighed against
from a league of their own. Girls are what you play with after the game, not during the game.
Yeah, but she would listen. She was the line judge. They jumped offside. You can't be mad about that. She was the line judge. Sorry.
Yeah, but there was a couple of flags that she threw that were questionable calls, like the I think the one play was where Mathias actually did intercept the ball and they got Kansas City for supposedly holding. It wasn't a holding call, but you know, and there was a defensive pass interference, and
she didn't throw the defensive pass interference because she's a line judge. She only watches the line.
Real quick, guys, I wanted to chime in briefly. I've been listening to the show. Wanted to chime in about weird foods that we were either forced to eat as kids or grew to love as adults. And being an Italian family, where do I start? Let's see. Very quickly into roasted heads. Of course, I had the privilege of eating the eye because it makes you smarter. I don't know. I think I got worked. Anyway, that was one of them. The other one was tripe, which I grew to love. I mean, how could you love the inside lining of a cow's stomach? It's awesome.
You know what? Actually, I've had tripe prepared in a stir fry that's been actually pretty darn impressive, just throwing it out there. But
Tripe, chitlins.
There's a lot of footless pigs out there because my grandfather and my father loved pig's feet.
Oh, yeah.
They made it in a stew with escarole and white northern beans, which I hate. to mention, I'll say this now because they're all, with the exception of my dad, everybody involved is dead. They make a rolled up meat, usually on a flank steak, called a brajol. Well, when we were kids, every so often they had a special one out there, which was basically made out of horse. Now, if you ever had horse, it's a very sweet meal. Yeah. And I was, you know, I was a smart-ass kid because look how I am now. And I asked one time, I said, where did you guys get the horse? And they said, well, he lost the third race at Arlington. This is what happens.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
That's funny.
Somebody, you know, look, something had to happen to the rest of the horse and Godfather. But there was you could think of it kind of sort of as a buffet. You know what teppanyaki is. And they had a place where would go through and you would grab the different meats and veggies and stuff like that, and you would take them back to where the table was, and you would do that stuff yourself. And one of the meats they had there was horse. And a few other
The funny part about it was you were educated real quick that if you don't want to try something new, you didn't eat. You know, my grandfather said, you don't like what I cook? Get it, you own a wife.
Oh, and going back to the military thing, hey, Todd, did you see Full Metal Jacket?
I did.
Holy Jesus.
No, it's...
What
in the hell is that in your Foot Locker pile? A jelly donut.
You got to be shitting me, Private Pile. All right, I'm done. I'm in. Congrats on everything. I enjoy the show. Have a great night.
Bye, Chaz.
Right,
thanks for the hear. Bye, brother. You and your other half, stay safe, brother.
The mail-in touchdowns is the best line I've heard in a while.
The mail-in
that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
And to come back about the female ref, I'll just go on record and say that I don't think there's a female out there that isn't in love with Tom Brady. So I don't know if we can really hold that against her. I mean,
I don't like Tom Brady. I never have.
Well, first of all, if she's an NFL referee, she made it there for a reason. Same thing with your offensive line. Those backups get paid to play when there's time of need.
I know they do.
It's NFL players, and it's a job. They get paid to do a job. If the starter gets hurt, it's their job to take over. Well, I'm just saying.
I know.
You know, you can't use that.
Well, like I said,
my team's
horrible. I'm not trying to make excuses, you know, because Patrick Mahomes did his best. He tried to do the best job that he could.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
I blame the calling with him running because he shouldn't have ran the first five plays because he hurt himself on that last one. That's why he had to stop running. They should have never started it. He should have eased into that, and it would have been a different outcome.
Well, we're going to be back. You know, we got next year, so you know, I mean, I believe they'll be in a Super Bowl again. You know, and I mean, we've got Patrick Mahomes for 10 years, so
yeah, you guys are going to be fine. Now, I will say if there's things about the Super Bowl that I wasn't particular about. First off, it wasn't the Super Bowl. It was the Agenda Bowl. Again, I will beg. You know, something I don't think, and not get on my soapbox, but something I think Hollywood and professional sports really doesn't get is that down here on the ground, in the real world, we don't see stuff in an agenda-based thing. We go to work and we work with different people of different colors, different religions, and different sexual orientations and different abilities. And they're our workmates. They're our brothers, our sisters. And we don't really see that. So when we watch commercials and we watch their little, you know, awareness things, folks like us, we kind of look at it and go, what the hell is all that about? Because down here on the ground, we don't see that stuff. We don't deal with that. You know, Todd will tell you, you dig a foxhole and that guy in the foxhole with you is yellow or brown or black or purple or paisley. He is your brother. Okay. So to have the stuff constantly crammed down your throat, and to be honest with you, after this COVID thing, if Hollywood hasn't quite figured it out through this COVID, one of the first ones that comes to mind is Kelly Ripa. Kelly Ripa's been posting all kinds of stuff on social media about, oh, I'm having such a tough time with the quarantine. I'm trying on my daughter's clothes. And I'm thinking, okay, you're quarantined.
Well, quit eating baby food.
Yeah, well, start eating baby food because you ain't but a size negative 2. Why don't you damn gain some weight? But, you know, she's out there acting like sitting in her, you know, $5-7 million mansion that's got a view of the ocean and an in and outdoor pool and jacuzzis and what have you is such a pain in the ass. You know, you're not working for Taco Bell, sister, so I really don't want to hear what your problem is today. And these athletes that, you know, and speaking on the hurt offensive linemen, the guys who are second string are making a whole hell of a lot more sitting the bench than what we'll ever see. And I really don't feel like listening to people who have 7 digits in the bank tell me what's wrong with my country. So as I'm watching, and all the commercials are agenda-based, and you know, everything they keep saying the game is agenda-based, I'm going, God, don't you guys get it? Don't you guys get it that down here on the ground, we're already locking arms. Down here on the ground, we're already one. We're one people. There in the imaginary world, in Hollywood and, you know, gated communities and everything else. You know, when your house costs a couple million bucks, it's a whole different kind of misery you might encounter. You know what I mean? It's hard to,
yeah, well,
not to be disparaging, but you know, they don't worry about their lights getting turned off.
No, it's
going
to get turned off, and the money's not going to be there, and they're going to be coming to our house looking for food because we're survivors and we know how to eat off the land, and they don't, because the little rich kid is going to be walking around in circles going, "Daddy, I can't get a signal." Yeah, think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there ain't going to be no food at our houses because everybody's done ate it. Tim already brought that up. So
yeah, right. But what I'm saying is you but right, but we could survive. These rich people have,
correct,
they'll have nothing to trade, no money, no gas. There'll be nothing. If everything gets cut off, the whole world gets cut off, they're going to be screwed. Their kids,
yeah,
don't even know how to put gas in the damn car.
Well,
you know
it's
what?
Like
the
they get on there and they said, no, go ahead.
The kids today are clueless of what's going on in this country and what's going to happen in this country. Because not to get on my soapbox, but if shit don't get on a track soon, we could be looking at an oligarchy real soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm not really concerned what Taylor Swift thinks about our politics or the state of our country right now.
I don't care what any of them think. You know what I think? I think they should do the damn national anthem the right way and America the Beautiful the right way. Quit doo-wopping that crap and making new crap. It's not supposed to be that. Every year at the Super Bowl,
like,
it's a different thing.
At work, do you honestly think about the things that you put up with on a day-to-day basis?
Yep.
Just being who you are, okay? Do you,
yep,
honestly think, and I'm going to let me just pick somebody. I already picked on Taylor Swift. Let me carry on with her. Do you think that she actually is worried about cutting her grass? Now,
please.
I know everybody on this call has had the whole, God, man, I got to get this grass cut because I got to work for the next 4 or 5 straight days or it's supposed to rain. I got to get this grass cut. And
right,
you've been up against that. Do you honestly think she could fire a lawnmower? Probably not, because she just hires somebody. Going to the grocery store, she probably just hires somebody. I don't even know if she could drive because she just hires somebody. And so the stuff that you feel like affects everybody really doesn't, because you're so far detached,
mm-hmm,
from those comments. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
that was really getting under my skin watching the game because I felt like I was being force-fed something. Now, on the other thing was the nifty new trend of wearing your skivvies on your head during a halftime show. I thought that was pretty intuitive. That was I have no idea who that gentleman was that was singing. I don't particularly care.
It was the worst halftime show I've ever seen, but go ahead.
I just I had a tear trickling down the side of my face just wishing that I can get my J-Lo and Shakira back. I was even almost to the point of calling up and trying to get a seance together to get Prince back from the dead.
Right.
So Prince could do a halftime show. A post-mortem.
Or Michael Jackson.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was just, you know, if it gets that bad, you know, you never want to half-ass two things. You just want a whole-ass one thing. And if you're going to do
exactly
that halftime show and it's going to be that half-ass, as a matter of fact, I was telling my son years ago, and Granny, I know you'll remember and you'll probably be able to school me on it, same way with you, Velvet. Years ago during the Attitude Era, Raw had a fight that it was The Rock and Mankind fighting in an empty Silver Dome, Pontiac Stadium,
mm-hmm,
in Detroit. And for the halftime, you could watch the halftime show, or you could flip it to,
yep,
USA,
watch
and
that,
watch,
yep,
The Rock. And they beat the living piss out of one another in that match. And it was
sure
so
did
entertaining. You just turned it.
you watched a damn good wrestling match, and they timed it just right when the match was over, you went right on back to football. It was absolute genius. And I just wish somebody would take the initiative to do that and maybe perhaps try to compete with these lame-ass halftime shows they keep putting together. Even the Puppy Bowl, for crying out loud. I mean, just, you know, do something.
It just, yeah, I agree. It just, it's to the point where everything's so commercialized and it's, everything's an agenda. You're right about that. And, you know, these people fight to be on the, to be in the Super Bowl. But first of all, where are all the big stars? How come they're not fighting to be on the Super Bowl? Oh, because it's a joke. So you can go ahead and do it. I ain't doing it. You go ahead and jump up and down and all your pre-recorded stuff because you're not singing live because you're too busy dancing. So you go on ahead. Nope.
Yeah,
it's a joke.
You can have
it's a joke. Like these, some
said,
of these, go ahead.
No, they were saying the other day that the NBA, the viewership was down 80% in viewership. And they said it's because of the coronavirus. And I stopped for a second. I said, no, no, no. It might be down 80% because of the coronavirus.
Well, it's 100%.
Yeah. It should be up in viewership because more people are home than what they normally are because of the coronavirus. The reason why the viewership is down is because people are tired of having the agendas crammed down their throats. And it's just one of those things. And like I said, I don't think Hollywood, I don't think professional athletes, I don't think the rich get it, that down here on the ground, we don't count that stuff. We go into work. We don't walk into work and go, God, man, there's an awful lot of, you know, Asian people here. You know, we don't do that. We go into work and go, hey, good morning, brought you a coffee. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
To have the agenda shoved down our throat, they're going to find out, you know, over a certain amount of time when the revenue ain't there, because what's keeping them in business is people like us. It's Granny Hulkster buying her Chiefs jerseys. That's the thing that's keeping it running. And if that's not there, be it for whatever reason, I mean, taking a month away from social media, not totally blacked out from it, but just to the point where I'm, like, getting on there and saying happy birthday to people, and then I get off immediately type thing.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, the last month has been fabulous for me. I couldn't have asked for a better month. So, you know, people do reach that point after a while where they just get tired of being force-fed the stuff. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed. I wasn't shocked. You know what I mean? But on the flip side, you know, these places are going to figure it out. Now I hear Mark Cuban won't play the national anthem before the games.
Oh, well, now I read something early. I mean, I'd heard that, you know, but then I read something earlier today that they're saying now that they are going to allow the NBA to do the national anthems. They're not, I mean, whatever the reasoning for him not doing it, because one of my friends that lives in Texas said, you know, I've lost all respect. I won't go to any more games. I won't watch your games anymore. But then I read something later in the afternoon where they are going to be allowed to do the national anthem at the basketball games.
Well, that's they shouldn't have to be told to do it, though. You know what I mean? And
I know.
Hold on, because I really didn't understand the point of that one. So I'm going to ask some clarification, just so I make sure I'm understanding correctly. And the shorter the answer, the better for clarity. Like, so let's try some yes or no. All right. Did Mark Cuban, on a standalone basis, say he was not going to play a national anthem at his Mavericks games?
No.
Was that a yes or no?
No, it was the Players Association.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure it was the Players Association?
It wasn't Mark Cuban, so it was
the Players Association.
Players Association. All right, so see, now there's a big difference in the clarity there. All right.
Yeah, that is.
So it was the NBA Players Association that said it. All right, that's –
he would kind of follow the suit.
I wasn't tracking that. It sounded like it might have been different things, so good to go. Thank you.
He was just following their lead because the players really run the league anyway. So,
because
that's a players driven league, whereas the NFL is not, and baseball is not. The NBA, the players have all the say so. So if they don't want to play the national anthem, they don't play the national anthem. And then the owners got together and said, we're taking a vote. We're not doing that. Cuban was backing his team and following suit by not doing it, but the other owners went, no, we're not doing that. So.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're not going to play the national anthem, then move the team to Canada or to Mexico or, you know.
Wherever
the hell. Yeah, you just can't do it here. And to be honest with you, if you move to another country, chances are, you know what they're going to expect? They're going to expect you to play their national anthem before the game.
Right.
So, I mean,
exactly.
It isn't like you're going to go somewhere else and that stuff's going to clear up overnight. Yeah. Just irritating.
Well, you know, like I said, play the national anthem the way it's supposed to be played. Sing America the Beautiful the way it's supposed to be sung. And let's just get on with it, you know? Quit trying to make it all this other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
I mean,
so
takes away. Go ahead. Changing the subject.
Yeah, exactly. Turn it around. No intention of turning it into a negative experience, but darn it, I did.
No, but it's okay.
You know, there's got to be a certain amount of respect. I mean, and I've gone out and said
my
that
wife's
a lot of times. You don't have
She's
to.
She's snoring away back here.
Oh, really? At least she's not doing it on the air like Dr. John will do from time to time. So that's good.
Moved to the end of the bed. That's why I was sitting next to her. I said, "Uh-oh, let me move." Yeah, last week was funny, Doctor.
Todd will tell you he actually crashed on us a couple months back, where we kept hearing this noise, and finally we stopped and said, "Todd, you hear some story?"
Well, here's what's funny, because while it well and truly did happen, when we hit the end of the show and got time for plugs and all that and closing, boom, it was like an alarm went off. Jumped right in.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah. It was the damnest thing. I laughed. God, that whole back half of the show was nothing but me and Todd laughing the whole time, that and John snoring. But, yeah, I mean, it was almost like a biscuit timer in his head went off, and he got up and he goes, "Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Pop Culture Stars." He's like, "Damn, where'd that come from?" But, so, we've hit on hiding food. We've hit on...
Only John.
We've hit on refs liking Tom Brady. Yeah. We've hit on agenda-based professional sports. What else is out there, boys and girls, that we can carry on about for the next?
I'm ready.
I'm
ready for baseball.
I am too.
I'm
Velvet, we
going
know
down.
You can't get
yeah.
enough of your balls.
Watch it. All right, Todd. All right.
Way to put us in the
all
gutter.
Right.
That's right. It was Tom Brady who said
well,
he
would
have touch his balls.
Well, you know, at least my balls aren't deflated.
That's true.
Ooh.
Look, I know where my – look, I'm good. I'm secure in my manhood because I always know where mine are in my wife's purse.
or in their freezer with the spare.
You know, some are held for charity, and some are very well dressed.
Yes, but the ones that are held for pleasure
are the ones I like the best.
Oh, my goodness, y'all.
No, that does kind of tie in with the thought we had. We were just randomly throwing out different music groups earlier. And, when you posted to Who, it occurred to me there were some bands that had some fairly fun, silly songs. And with the Who, Squeezebox.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was that was just a silly song. And, of course, Dave just mentioned, what is that, Big Balls song? That's
one.
There was always some silly, fun songs. Certain more bands were able to put out different little things that they would do that were just a little more fun and silly and stuff that they would do. Some were a little more or less obvious about what they were doing in certain things. But, yeah, some of the bands, they would do some fairly fun songs over the years. And so that's just kind of cool that, you know, you guys tied a couple of them together with our just silliness. So thanks for letting me have that quick tangent.
Yes.
Well, I'm going down to Florida for spring training, so
I hear you. I'm ready for some Pelicans baseball. Now, Velvet, you ever been to that ballpark there in Myrtle Beach?
I have not.
Oh, dude,
we have River Dogs, and the River Dogs was the biggest single A in the, you know, they generate more money than most everybody else. They had a decent stadium, you know, all that. But I think they're moving up to high A this year.
Oh, really?
Either going to be high A or double A.
Ah. Now
I'm just curious. What's their symbol? Are they using we used to call them a mud puppy. It's one of the amphibians, and they always had like the gills coming out of the gill slit, the red live gills.
No, it's a dog. It's a dog that chewed through a bat.
Alrighty then.
And
oh, by the way,
the
real
dog.
Quick,
go ahead.
River Dogs was actually a band that Viv Campbell did briefly after leaving Dio.
Oh, wow. Old Dio. God, that was another band. Wow. Now, I know
Ronnie James Dio.
Yes, sir. With his cape and everything and his, like, major fro going on. This guy was like, they put out some good music, though. But our Down East Wood Ducks just up their franchisee or whatever they call it with the Texas Rangers for 10 more years. So we'll be having more Wood Ducks baseball for at least ways to carry me into my 60s, which is good. But going back to the Myrtle Beach thing, I can tell you that baseball park and what I like about minor league baseball versus major league baseball is sometimes when you go to a major league game, the whole experience just kind of swallows you up. There's so much going on, and it's so big that it kind of – I don't want to say it takes away from the game, but it kind of just – it kind of pulls you from the reason why you're there is to watch a baseball game, so to speak. Because almost like baseball parks attached to malls. I mean, there's eateries, there's shops, there's all kinds of stuff, events going on, and – I don't know how many times I've been at major league ball games and seen people come sit down watching any baseball and then get up and walk off and they don't come back, you know. But minor league, there's never a bad seat at a minor league ballpark.
No, there's not.
And And more often than not, they're very interactive. You know, you can shake hands with the players and all that kind of jazz. They have a lot of in-game events. They allow children to run the bases. That's something they do in Myrtle Beach. At the end of the game, all kids get to run the bases. But that Myrtle Beach Park, the location, the ocean breeze, the way they have it blowing across the field, the way it's set up, as clean as it is, I mean, Pelicans baseball is outstanding. I love it. Can't get enough of it. And if you haven't been in that Myrtle Beach Park, that's one to go to.
I say we make a trip. We'll come to that, and y'all come to a River Dogs game.
Oh, I ain't got no sweat with that.
That would work. Tim, I got a question. Tim, there's a small stadium down there downtown, baseball wise. Is that a minor league team?
It is, sir. Field. That is the Indianapolis Indians. Great stadium. The view is awesome. And, yeah, I was kind of nodding my head to myself as you were talking. It's one of those that seats are dirt cheap, you know, sitting out in left field, and there's not a bad seat, man. Whenever I've been there, I'm always paying, you know, like, I don't know, probably $12. And it's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you're still right there at the field, you know, just down the third baseline. And that's kind of where I've always sat. I'm sure I don't know how much more you got to pay to get behind the home plate or anything, but yeah, not a bad seat in the house.
That's cool.
And they seem to try harder for some reason. Now, granted, I mean, they don't have the revenue that say Major League Ball team does, so of course they do have to try harder. But when it comes down to the quality of play, I mean, you see guys legging out every hit. It ain't none of this stuff about, you know, you hit a pop fly and you flip the bat and you just trot to first because you know you're out. They leg out everything. They're stealing bases. They're, you know.
Well, we know why they're doing it, because they're hoping to get to the bigs.
Yeah. Trying to get to.
And in some cases, you know what? They're still playing professionally in front of a crowd. That's actually pretty hot.
Yeah.
We used to have a guy that played. When I was a kid, there was a guy named Razor Shines, and he always went back and forth. I don't really know the you know what his main if it was just kind of like he was a temporary guy, or if it was really like he always his performances on the border. I don't know, but I know they made a big deal about him in Indianapolis, and they you know when they announced him when he was up to bat, and he went back and forth and would play for the Expos for a couple of years, and he come back to the Indians, and he go back to the Expos. So I don't know the whole strategy behind that, if it was performance based or just, you know, some kind of a strategy as far as who they need and when, but you get some big names sometimes coming through those places. And I got his autograph once. You guys were also talking about that. And actually I think it's at a card show that he went to, and I got his autograph there. But yeah, man, they've got some minor league games. They're no joke. Those guys are playing hard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like we have a baseball park in Springdale at our best ballpark. It's for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. They're the AA-affiliated club to the Kansas City Royals. And the year that the Royals made it into the World Series again in 2015, a lot of those guys that were playing for the Royals then – at one time, were Northwest Arkansas Natural baseball players. Now, granted, we didn't have any baseball season last year due to COVID, so I'm hoping that'll change this year. But they've got two of the cutest mascots. I just love their mascots. They only had one for a long time, and then a couple years ago, they got the second one. But the first one, his name is Strike. He's a Sasquatch. And he is so cute. I just love him to death. Big, hairy, looking character. And then the one that they got a couple years ago is called Sinker. They call him the creature from Beaver Lake. And he's got the biggest, prettiest blue eyes. He's blue. He looks like a dragon. He's got the big dragon tail, you know, and everything. And not last year, but the year before, they would have like a Star Wars night. And they had these special made jerseys where the baseball players, they signed them, they autographed the jerseys, and you bid on them, and they were raising money for an organization, you know, to help an organization out. Well, my son actually got one of the jerseys from one of the pitchers. And, of course, Strike, his jersey always goes like $450. I mean, way up there. I think my son paid $50 or $60 for his jersey. But Strike, everybody wants Strike's jersey. And I asked Sinker, I said, Sinker, I said, how come they don't have a jersey for you? And he just, like, put his hands over his eyes like he was pouting, like he was crying. I said, well, Sinker, if you had a jersey, I would bid on your jersey. And he gave me a great big hug. And the second season that they were there, I told Strike, I said, Strike, you need a girlfriend. And this was before my husband and I got married, you know, and everything, because they've been – well, I think last year it would have been their 12th season, so they didn't get to have it. But anyways, so it was right before my husband and I got married, and I said, you need a girlfriend. And he pointed to me, and I said, oh, you want me to be your girlfriend? And he made a little heart with his big, hairy hands. I love their mascots. I mean, they are so much fun. But, yeah, I love to go to their baseball games. I mean, there's not a bad seat in the house. I mean, I think the most expensive ticket, like, behind home plate is, like, what they call super premium, like $13, you know. And the cheapest is, like, $8, you know. And you can get, and if you're a senior, you get, like, a dollar off your ticket. So, you know, that's even better, but they would do like dollar brat nights. I mean, you could get a bratwurst for $1 and a beer for $1, you know. And I mean, they would have different events and, you know, different things. And they always had a lot of fun. I mean, I hope we get to have our baseball season this year. I really missed it last year. So.
Yeah, I
agree.
Give
you a quick. Quick rundown of some of the players who came to Charleston. B.J. Upton, Rocco Baldelli, who's the coach of the Twins right now, Delmon Young, Josh Hamilton, Sandy Alomar, both Sandy Alomar Sr. and Jr., Roberto Alomar, Carlos Baerga, John Candelaria, Aaron Judge, Phil Hughes, Eduardo Nunez, so many. Gary Sanchez, that's just a few that have come through. Because we were the Charleston Royals from 1980 to 84, the Rainbows from 85 to 93, and then the River Dogs from 94 to the present time. Yeah, but I can go all the way back further than that. But that was just a quick rundown of some of the people who have played here. And now, you know, if they go to a higher league A, which doesn't say right now, that's just going to be good for Bill Murray, because Bill Murray is half part owner of the team. So, and he's a clown when he's at this. Bill Murray's, he's got a house here. I met his kids when I worked at the Piggly Wiggly here. And, I had my Viking tattoo, and his son was a Bears fan. And so we got to talking. But, yeah, his kids actually went to school here and graduated high school here. And then I don't know where they went after that. But, yeah, he's got a house here. And he's got a restaurant here.
I heard Bill Murray was one of those that kind of just lived out in the middle of nowhere, basically kept to himself and didn't really go out much.
He's still kind of he kind of does that. He's like when he came through the store, the very first time he came through the store downtown, one of the college kids saw him and they started freaking out. Bill Murray, and he was throwing stuff at him to get away from him. You know, he was being goofy, but he was being serious. He didn't want to take any pictures. He was just trying to get in and out of the store. So finally he took a couple pictures and ran out the store. As he got comfortable with Charleston, it changed a little bit. But yes, he likes to stay secluded. But when he does stuff that's important, like he came through at Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, he bought like thousands of dollars worth of canned goods and took them to anywhere he could dump them off at. So, I mean, he did good when he does stuff like that. Plus, you know, they do all kind of charity stuff here with the River Dogs, and he loves doing all that. So, I mean, he'll do that stuff. But, you know, if he wants to – everybody deserves their privacy. And when he wants his privacy, he gets it because he's like, yeah, I'm good. Leave me, you know, he'll tell people, listen, he doesn't have anybody following him around. He doesn't have any bodyguards. If he's willing to talk to you, he'll talk to you. If he's not and you don't catch the hint, he's going to get ugly, you know.
Yeah.
But if you catch the hint and walk away and say thank you, and then he'll remember that. And if he ever sees you again, which sometimes he remembers, sometimes he doesn't, he'll strike that conversation back up with you. So you just don't pressure the guy, you know. It's like with anybody, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta give the guy a little room to live. You know, I had saw.
Yeah.
When Hogan had that Hogan's Knows Best, they had that episode where him and the wife was at a restaurant eating, and that guy walked up there and actually started talking to him while he was eating. And I'm one of those guys. I'm probably part dog, because if there's one time, and Lord knows Todd's been around me enough, where I will take 5 minutes at work to stop and just gobble something down, and I'll be damned every time. Within that 5 minute period, somebody comes in and goes, "Are you eating? Are you on lunch?" And I'll unceremoniously
grab
my towel, throw it right in the garbage, and go, "What can I do for you?" And then, well, you didn't have to do that, Mr. Dave. Yes, I did.
He's telling you the truth, because it wouldn't be, dude, glad to see you catching five, or catching five, family good. It wouldn't be any of the banal. Someone that's really honest, not just banal, but you know what I'm saying. It would always be damn business. Nobody could do like a human pleasantry.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to hide back there with Todd and eat sometimes, where I'd just get back there and I'd say, dude, I'm just going to stand back here. Don't worry about me. Carry on. I'm just going to be standing back here.
And then,
right.
And then to tell you, I would put a sandwich or two in a bag and it'd sit back in the thing. And I would just try to go find a corner to hide in, try to get it done and do it. And he'll tell you, I think fairly often, because you're supposed to punch out for chow and all that, we do the after action punches.
Yeah. Yeah, because
let me tell you something.
When
I worked at Harris Teeter, I'm old school. Me and my friend Greg. Greg's is 11 years older than me, and he's 64, getting ready to turn 65. And he's still working, still throwing grocery, you know. But we would work, punch in. We didn't stop until the work was done. We took our lunch
before
we left. So if we got everything done, we'd punch out for our 30 minutes, sit in the cafe area or sit in the break room, go back, punch in, wait a minute, punch out, and go home.
Punch out. Yep. That's the way to do
We were old school. We were like, we're going to get this shit done, because I ain't sitting around here waiting on no damn half hour. If I stop, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done. The minute I start, especially if I eat, I'm done. Now,
speaking of
eating in baseball, though, before we get off the topic, I got to tell you all about the Norfolk Tide. When I was up there training in Virginia Beach 2016, I says, okay, I'm up here in Virginia Beach. There has got to be a minor league ball team around this place. And Norfolk has the Tides, which is, I think it was the Marlins. I can't quite remember. Nevertheless, I go to eat, and it said corn dog. And I'm sorry, guys. It's still a kid of me. I could tear up a corn dog, right? So corn dog, $6. I'm like, God damn, $6 for a corn dog? What, are they proud of these damn things or what? So I asked the guy, when I got the counter, I says, explain to me your corn dog there. I said, $6 is a little steep for a corn dog there, player. And he goes, oh, well, it's a 3/4 pounds of bread. And he turns around and points at him. I'm here to tell you, this damn thing was the size of my forearm. And I says, get me one of them and two beers. That was one of the best corn dogs.
It's a John Holmes dog.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
When I went to Minnesota, has
that's
something called the boomstick. Yeah, right. They have something called the boomstick in Minnesota. It's a whole yardstick of a dog. It can be kraut dog. You can put three dogs in it if you want. But they have
good
one.
God.
If you want just one, if you just want one, it's 3 foot long. Yes, sir.
Holy
it's called
smoke.
A boomstick. Look it up. You'll be like, what the heck? We want
3 foot of hot dog.
Not to be
grave.
Listen, not to be disrespectful, but we were sitting third baseline, and the people said it was going to be Rowdy over here, and we're like, great. We love Rowdy. This dude was about 450 pounds, could hardly fit in a seat. And this son of a gun ate the whole boomstick inside of 5 minutes. We looked at each other, and we all shared the boomstick. There was five of us who shared it. This dude gnawed on this thing so fast, I was like, and then he goes back, then he gets up and goes gets more food. I went, I'm done. I can't watch this. You're nuts, man. This guy just kept eating. I'm like, the game's going to be over and they're going to be closing the concession stands. He's going to be standing there. Can I get one of those? Can I get one of those? Can I get one of those? I was like, holy cow. But he ate, man. Same thing
somewhere
happened.
Somewhere in the background.
Same thing. Mm-hmm.
Wilford Brimley was going, check your blood sugar. Check it often.
Yeah. When I went to the Vikings game, I didn't know that the seats in front of us were empty. This one guy owned 8 seats. He owned the 4 that we were sitting in, the 4 below, but we weren't in all 4. Could have been. But here comes this dude and his wife, both of them over 400 pounds. Why do I get the 400-pound guy leaning on me, eating on me?
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't even get up out my seat to move because his body fat was in my seat. So I said, okay. So they get up and leave, and the guy was like, dude, move down. There's nobody sitting in front of you. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I was afraid somebody's coming because ain't nobody coming. This is my family seat. They're not coming. I said, cool. So I moved, and these guys came back with more food, and I'm like, holy crap. It's a good thing I'm not sitting up there. I'm like, I'm going to eat my son next. He's only a stick. He's like, we're hungry.
He's belly.
Right?
Yeah,
I'd be so tempted.
With the Wood Ducks, are only about a half hour from my house. And now, granted, and Todd will definitely agree, is that the drive to Kinston is pretty much all wilderness. If you break down between here and Kinston, you're just done. It is dry deliverance is what it is. Instead of canoeing, you were driving. But
and
I have
if you hear a banjo, you're doubly screwed.
Until a hurricane, because then that place floods horribly.
Yes, it does. Real, 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 real bad.
But I've definitely taken the beating every time.
You know, getting season tickets, you know, every year. But my problem is if I'm in a ballpark, I got to have a beer. I can't go to a ballpark and not have a beer. It just doesn't feel the same. And, you know, getting a couple beers with me and trying to drive back from Kinston, I don't know if it's doable or not. But
right.
If they ever get something closer, and I've always said if I ever won the Powerball one, the first thing I would do was go right here to Burton Park, that is right close to the house here, and build a minor league ball team. I mean, you could probably do it for $10, $12, $15 million. and
oh yeah,
and call it the Jacksonville
oh, yeah.
Daves. Have a picture of me and the damn hat and everything.
That's funny.
Damn cigar hanging
That's
out of my
funny.
Mouth. You know, because minor league baseball is just so much. It's just better for me. As much as I like Major League Baseball, going to, if I had to druther going to a game and going back to that Myrtle Beach one, if you ever get a chance to get to that Myrtle Beach Park, it's just everything about it is just right. The Goldilocks Park, not too hot, not too cold, but just
right. They ruined minor league hockey here for us.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. You can't say anything. You can't get too rowdy. Are we at an old folks home? We can't do nothing? I was so mad. Cause I gave up my season tickets like 20 years ago. You know, I watched the first three or four championships they won. And after that, I was like, it's too expensive to keep the tickets. But back then, I had double fist and beers. I had two seats on the glass. I was at the tunnel where the visiting team came out of. If you had your hands up on the railing, they would try to chop your fingers off with their sticks. They'd come by and slap it. Got thrown out plenty of nights, dumping beer on players. You know, cussing at them. We had a coach of one of the teams jump up on the railing. Me and my buddy both were double fisting. I said, "Here, you want a beer?" He goes, "Absolutely." He's drinking a beer after the first period. He didn't even go into the to the thing with the team. So on the way out after the game, he jumps up there and goes, "Guys, don't ever coach minor league hockey. Play golf." That man walked in the back and retired, quit that day. He was done.
No kid.
It was funny. But then, and then because of us, they brought the canopy out. So when the teams came out, they pulled the canopy out so you couldn't throw anything on them. You couldn't see them. I'm like, okay. That's when I gave up my tickets. Well, we went 2 years ago with the family because they were trying to sell the place out. They gave like $5 tickets. So we all went. A buddy of ours, about the same size I am, about 5'3", nothing, and weighs about 100 and nothing. Well, I weigh a bit more than him now. But anyway, make a long story short, the ref is awful. I mean, the guy was just god-awful. So it got real quiet, and Daniel stands up and starts like, "Hey, F this and that, blah, blah, blah." And people are laughing, but all the other folks are getting mad. So at the end of the game, this old dude walks up to him and goes, "You need to learn to keep your mouth shut, boy." He goes, "Yeah, F you too, old man." I was like, "Oh, we'll get in a fight." But nobody said anything. They were all like, you can't do that here. You can't do that here. I remember getting in a fight with the mayor of North Charleston because a buddy of mine put up Puck, P-U-C-K, Puck Summy. Summy's the mayor's name. Because because Keith Summey wanted the seats that my friend had bought. So he thought he was going to bully his way in getting those seats. And my buddy worked for the Port Authority, and he's like, "I'm not giving up my seats, dude." So he got kicked out that night, so he came back and made that sign, Puck Summey. Well, Summey came down there with his goons and some of the North Charleston police officers, and he goes, "I'm going to get them seats one way or another." And Jeff stood up. Jeff's a big boy. He was about 6'3", 300 pounds. He goes, "I tell you what, any of them can whip my ass, you can have the seats." And he's like, no, we're not going to get to that. We're just going to throw you out again. So we all get up to go out, and Jeff's got he's got a watermelon head, huge head. He was walking up the ramp, and we get up to the next level. He turned around and headbutted the first bodyguard. I was like, "Oh, it's on now. It's on now." But he never got the mayor never got those seats to this day, and he's still mayor.
I'll be damned. What a punch.
That was 25 years ago. But go ahead.
tell him to go puck himself.
He pretty much did. I was trying to be nice. Granny's on the line. I was trying to be nice.
Trust me, Jonathan. I've heard much worse than
you have,
the way you guys are talking right now at me.
I was trying to use a little bit of decorum.
I know you were. Bless your heart, you know. I got a funny story to tell you. You know, every once in a while they would do something really special there at Arvest. And one year they had the San Diego chicken there. And he was so funny. I mean, he was messing with those referees there on the ball field and everything. And so I went up to get his autograph picture after the baseball game or during the baseball or something, you know. It might have been after. It might have even been before. And I said, Chicken, I said, you've got the most prettiest blue eyes. And he says, well, thank you, baby. He comes and gives me a great big old hug. And, I mean, I thought he was funny. I used to love to watch the Chicken back in the different sporting events, you know, back in the day. And
yeah, they done a good job with the mascots back in the day. Of course, now, you know, you got all these parameters and everything. But, yeah, the Chicken used to put on a show.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of shows, we're running out of tape.
We got 3 minutes to change. Just
yeah,
saying.
We're going to go into extra innings. Yeah, absolutely. So, knowing that
no
we do have a little bit of, we've got a little bit of space left. So, real quick, anybody got anything to add, subtract, or divide to tonight's show? Please take the floor.
I'm good too.
It was just a fun time as always.
Yeah, man. Get to hang out with y'all and talk. That's always a highlight of my week.
Most definitely.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Hey, we ain't got time for no Steiner math, okay? Stop that. Come on, man.
Todd, you got anything
you
to throw in there?
I was going to remind y'all, sometimes everybody make the best of every day, and some days are better than others, no doubt about it. Do remember when feces occurs, that's Latin for shit happens, go ahead.
Richard Cranium.
And try to remember not to let that impact the people that did not cause it. Don't take it out on the wrong people.
Good point.
Just remember that. I know a lot of times it ends up meaning suck it up, buttercup, but just remember, don't take it out on people that don't have it coming to them. Just
exactly.
Saying.
That's right.
Back.
For sure.
That's a good point. And a lot of times that's people in the service industry that you feel like you could pick on because they can't afford to lose their jobs. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Yeah, we can move on just as quick as anybody else can.
Todd was aiming that at me. I know. I'm sorry, Todd.
Oh, brother, not you at all.
I'm picking, truth, man.
Well, the thing was, I'm just going to say you guys made my night better. Thank you.
Exactly. I agree. Agreed.
Yeah, very good show. We hope Dr. John is doing all right. I have yet to get any communication back from him. I understand he's been busy and everything, but hope everything's going all right with him. So,
go ahead. Finish it
no,
up.
No, go
Let's
ahead.
Do it. We'll talk about it later. Well, he's
right
busy, and he's going to let y'all run the show. He's going to let y'all run the show, and I'm going to run pro wrestling interviews so he can take a break and get some much-needed sleep on certain nights because he is not sleeping. So I saw him today with Malcolm. We had lunch together. He looked like somebody had beaten him with a baseball bat right under both eyes. He is just about to pass out.
That's because he calls everybody at midnight.
Well, he calls everybody every 10 minutes, but he's also driving like all over the state. He crosses the state so much, I get dizzy listening to him. I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, whenever he
that
calls me,
he's
in some other
about
place.
To die. Yeah, that car is about to die. I hate to say that, but hope it lasts a little bit longer for him.
Man, he's
put
some miles on that thing.
I think it's got about four. It's closing in on 400,000, I think.
Good grief. That's madness.
Yeah, last time I looked at it, it was at 360 or so when I really looked at it, but I ain't looked at it in about a year.
Yeah, whenever he calls me, he's always on the road. So, I mean,
yep.
I don't know how he does it.
Well, guys, real quick before we get off here, I may not be on next week with you all because I got to get up early Thursday morning and head to Little Rock for my state convention. So I may just, I don't know yet. I'll just wait and see what my schedule's like next week, depending on how things are. But I may bow out next week so I can go to bed early, so I can get up early because I've got a busy starting Friday, I've got a busy weekend ahead of me and everything like that. So depending on how my day goes Wednesday, I may or may not. Or if I do call in, it'll be for a very brief time and, you know, then get off. So.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir.
Does anybody say anything other than safety first? We ain't mad at you.
Absolutely.
I know you ain't mad at me. I know that, you know. So, I mean, you know. But I always like to try to let you guys know if I'm not going to be able to be on the show, you know. So.
For sure. You do a good job of making sure at least a few folks know, always. Thank you, hon. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right,
safe travels next week. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
thank you.
Well, with all that being said, we hope everybody has a good week, and we appreciate you joining us this evening at Pop Culture Stars, and we will look forward to you again next week when God knows what we'll be talking about. But, another great show, guys. Everybody be safe, be good to one another, and have a good evening. Thank you again for joining us at
Pop
Culture Stars.
Take care, one
British lady.
Take care.
Good night, everybody.
British lady.
Good night, everyone.
Here she is.